If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense. Hey guys, welcome to Talking Sense. I have Brandon here. He's from our West Little Rock office, and he is going to be joining me today. We've had clients approach us from time to time, you know, with this investment idea they heard about, usually off the internet, and requesting our feedback. So we felt like it would be really good to talk about what process we go through to determine whether it's right for them or not. And the first part of that that we're going to talk about is what today's episode is about, which is it investing or is it more speculative? Many don't know what that means. Speculative is not a word that I use in my day-to-day vocabulary. So we thought that, you know, using this episode to clarify that and help you guys understand how to do that filter yourselves might be beneficial to you as you're going through looking at things and trying to make a decision if it's right for you. So first thing you've got to do is separate those two investment types and understand them. So let's start with investments, things that we would call investments. Now, to be clear, this is not the broad investments, but when we're taking things that you could invest in and we're breaking it into two categories, speculative or investment, you know, purpose, that's really the focus we have here. Just to be clear, we're not defining it, but we're kind of giving you our approach.
Yeah. Investment is going to be something that you have a little bit longer timeline on. We always talk to clients about the timeline that they have for their money. If it's going to be short term, you often go into bonds and fixed products. You're going to have a little bit less risk, probably no risk, and a little bit less long-term reward because of that.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have equities. So equities tend to have moderate to higher risk, depending on what kind it is. But they also have a higher long-term reward potential. Keyword here is potential, because we have to understand all investments have risk. All of them have different varying degrees of that risk and different types of risk. But they do have, you can kind of understand the level of risk you're likely to walk into based on the type it is. And it can be spread out through diversification, which is something we'll talk a little bit more about later. So, you know, your investments, longer term goals typically, or longer term process, the products, and we're not trying to jump in and out, things like that. But when we get into speculative investment, that tends to be a short term situation where you're hopping in, you're hopping out. A lot of people who are day traders are speculative investors. They're speculating. They're guessing where something might go. There's a higher risk, higher potential return, supposedly, if you do it right. A lot of people struggle with that. But there's also the potential of total loss.
Yeah. I think we see that it tends to be trends, especially with social media growing and my age group. We see lots of people post on social media and they have the ability to move all kinds of things, whether it's Bitcoin or stocks up and down. And so they can say something on the internet and it just goes crazy. And so it tends to be a quick trend and people get in too late. They jump in at the top and then they end up not getting the returns that maybe some of those people that are posting did.
Well, and we talked about one that's kind of doing that again today. We talked about GameStop back in like 2020 or 2021. I don't remember which one. It got in the news that this was just being blown up. The stock price was just driving because the stock market is as much driven by the value as it is demand. So a company's value could be way below what you're currently paying if it's driven just purely on demand, where people are just buying it up in droves. And what can happen if someone is saying, hey, I've bought XYZ stock, you should too, is you buying it now drives up the price so that I can sell it at a higher price before it dips back down to what it's actually worth. And some people misinterpret volatility with that as well. There have been times where the market was way overpriced because of demand, and then it had to correct back down to what it really is. And people go, oh, well, the market dipped. No, you just bought it too high. It just, the market's going to do that. It has to correct the ship from time to time. But with speculative investing, that can be huge shifts. You know, penny stocks, you mentioned Bitcoin. There were thousands of companies that failed just in the first year when Bitcoin became a thing. And there were a lot of people that made a lot of money. There were a lot of people that lost a lot of money in that. So that would fit that category. So, you know, is it something that's been sustainable for a period of time? chances are it's probably an investment there. Not that it can't fail, because there are still companies that fail. I was shocked, as anybody else was, when Toys R Us closed its doors. You know, Enron happened overnight. So companies can still fail. There's still risk. But if it's an established company that has a long track record, it's not really considered speculative like what we're talking about today. So that would be the first measure. Do you, you know, is it something that is kind of new and trending, or is it something that's been around for a while? The other thing to understand about whether you're investing or you're speculating is understanding your behavior. You know, there's some challenges related to investing, and the biggest ones are usually behavior-based.
Yeah, I think with investing, you got to know yourself. And when mm-hmm. you come down to it, on the speculative side, it looks nice because you have the ability to maybe get some really high returns. But you also have the ability to just about lose everything you put in. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of how you have to look at it. If you're going to get into something, it needs to be kind of your Vegas money, money that you don't care about losing, and set a limit on that too.
Because it can derail your goals if it doesn't pan out. I think there are people who've been, the phrase that comes to mind is snake bit. They tried it, lost a ton, or tried it a few times, lost a bunch, and then they're scared to invest at all. You know, and it's complex and difficult to understand some of these products out there. There were, a lot of people that when Bitcoin came out, they wanted me to invest in it. And I told them, guys, I can't understand it yet. I can't with good conscience put you in it. You can go to another resource for that. But I want to understand it before I'm letting you invest through me, because ultimately I have to be a fiduciary for my clients. And then, you know, if it does pan out, you could realize a large gain and you're stuck. We had a potential client. They ended up not coming to us. They had made a ton on Bitcoin. They had a great experience. But if they liquidated anything, they were going to pay a ton of taxes. And that's why they're not our client. They asked us how to protect them from paying taxes. And we're like, you can't avoid taxes on gains. Yeah. It's something you're going to have to deal with. But they had like this huge amount that they couldn't touch. So what good was it to them? So that's kind of the speculative side. But when you look at investing in general, there are challenges, in my opinion. You know, you can try to time the market, and trying to get that buy and that sale just perfect is really difficult. Even for me, I live in this environment. I do this every day. I don't try to time the market because it's just too hard.
Yeah, neither do I. I follow a couple companies and that's more than enough to keep up with. They're just ones I'm interested in, and there's always something, another mm-hmm. article coming out, and their price shifts from, you know, you could look 1 hour and the next hour is completely different. And there's a lot to keep up with. So,
and that's why I think a lot of times, you know, if someone's been snake bit by the market in a true investing situation, think back to 2008, you know, they saw their 401k or their investment account drop by 40%. Many people will sell, and then often they're scared to get back in. And so what happens is they wait too long. They sold while it was down, and then they wait too long to get back in to be able to ride it back up fully. So it's really important to understand your behavior in that, and try to kind of pause when the market is being volatile. Ask yourself, A, am I well diversified? And if I am well diversified, then I've done what I can do to deal with the risk. So don't try to monkey with it too much would be my suggestion. Again, we can't guarantee success. Nothing is guaranteed in investing, but there are some trends that you can pay attention to. The other thing, we talked about it a little bit, but I want to go into more detail, is maintaining a diversified portfolio. Sometimes in investing, is one of the challenges that people have is they'll come to you and say, well, the S&P did 32 and I only got 25. And I'll say, well, you're not invested in the S&P.
Yeah.
We're not just doing the S&P, because there's some issues with diversifying if that's the case. And you were explaining to me some statistics you recently looked up on that, which is kind of shocking.
Yeah, we have clients that come in and compare that all the time. And we want to just go back to the fact that right now, as of the end of April, the S&P 500 was made up of the Magnificent Seven, mm-hmm. which made up 29% of the entire S&P 500. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a money manager and you're in a model or a portfolio that we choose, and they don't have that same conviction towards those same seven companies, they don't think they're going to be the ones to go with for the next however many years, then yeah, if they do really well, you might not see quite the same return. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if they do really poorly, then you may not see the same downturn.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's what, so some people may not know what the S&P 500 is. It's basically the 500 largest companies that are accounted for there. But what you're saying is 25% of the market share the size of that is really just 7 companies. So you really couldn't be diversified if you're doing the S&P 500 only. And it is important to have some diversification to help spread out your risk as much as you can. So you're not necessarily going to get the same returns, but you're also not necessarily facing the same level of risk. So it's important to understand your behavior and take steps to manage that regardless of which way you're going. And we're going to talk about that too. You know, what? When do I need to do one over the other? You alluded to this before, but the joke I say is use your Vegas money for speculation. If I can lose it, then it's not a big deal.
Yeah. When Bitcoin and those things came around, I had a class in college and we did a lot of talking about it. Mm-hmm. And so I took a very small portion of my money because I wanted to understand it at the time. I planned on going into finance. Mm-hmm. And so I took a very small portion. And I jumped in probably at the high of all them. And so I'm still down years later. But
just
it was a great learning thing. I got to watch it and just diversify myself, and I still mm-hmm. saw the losses. So
when I did that, with a small portion into an individual stock, it wasn't necessarily even a risky company, but I tend to use mutual funds. I like the idea of having somebody manage that portfolio, even internally, for myself. Not saying that's good for everybody, but for me, that's something. But I did. I bought some stock in a company here in Arkansas just as like a, let me see how it does. I bought a few shares. And the thing to remember is if I lost it all, it wouldn't matter. I made sure it was a small enough amount that it didn't matter. So if it's something where you want to try a new trend or you want to, you know, kind of reach out there and do something out of the ordinary, what I would encourage you to do is use what I would call your Vegas money. I could lose it all and it would not matter. The other thing you have to understand about whether to use one or the other is your goal. Because if you've got goals that are long-term goals that are significant to you, taking a speculative investment and trying to meet that is really probably not the best plan. Like if you're trying to save for a down payment on a home, Bitcoin may not be the place to invest. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, probably not. When we make our plans for our clients, we use the bucketing strategy that we've talked mm-hmm. about on here a lot, and we use very conservative rates of return because we are outcome based. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we get you that income that you need in retirement, and we don't want to use a speculative like return and say, well, if we could get this, you know, mm-hmm. by chance, then we could make your retirement work. We want to know that when you get to retirement, you have the money you need mm-hmm. to meet those basic needs in retirement and also have a good one.
And I think the other thing to be very mindful of is recency bias. It's something where, like, if something good happens, you assume something good's going to continue happening. Or if something bad happens, you assume it's always going to be that way. We all have bias when it comes to our investment journeys and our experiences, but we have to be cautious of letting that dictate our decision making. You know, in a down market or soon thereafter, that we talked about this before, it's hard for people to get back in. And when we have up markets, people just like go crazy sometimes. They're like, oh, the market's up, I got to buy in. Well, you're buying at the high. So should you dollar cost average? Should you put a little bit in at a time? Of course, you should keep that consistency, but don't go dropping a lump sum into something because some person on TikTok told you to do it, please. There are better ways to plan ahead for your future and get to the place you're trying to get to. Well, we've reached the end of this topic, but it is time for our 2 cents. I'll let you go first, Brandon.
Yeah, I just like to say we're not against speculative investments. We've all mm-hmm. done them just to play on the side, and mm-hmm. it can be fun, but you have to know yourself and how it's going to affect you. If you're going to get in there and lose a lot of money and not ever get back in, then it might not mm-hmm. be a thing for you. But you also have to be careful that if you do make a lot of money, just know it's not going to happen every time you do it, and mm-hmm. not to just get greedy about it.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, that recency bias can make you greedy on either side. And, you know, all investments, as I've said before, have inherent risks. No strategy guarantees success. Past performance is not indicative of future results. We hope by helping you understand what you're getting into before you get started, though, that you can make a confident decision about your journey and about speculative investing, whether that's going to be a part of it or not, so that you can find true financial independence, because that is truly our goal for you. If that is something that's important to you, you're just getting started on your investing journey and you want to learn more, this show is for you. That's why we created Talking Sense, to help you learn about these concepts that I know I didn't learn when I was growing up. I've learned them since I've gotten here, to give you a leg up to get you started. Another thing we've started here at Gem Wealth is what we call Spark. And Brandon is actually one of our Spark investment advisors. And the way that works is we're going to pair the technology, educational tools with a real life financial advisor and a low cost investing platform to help those new investors get going. If you're interested in scheduling your initial with a Spark advisor, I would love for you to shoot an email to spark@getreadyforthefuture.com. And if you've enjoyed today's content and you want to learn more, make sure that you like, follow, subscribe, so you're getting these notifications about each new episode as it comes out. Thank you again, Brandon, for being here today. We hope you've learned something new, and we'll catch you again next week. Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Wall team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Wall Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.